It's been more than 25 years since sectarian violence exploded onto the streets of Punjab. But the bitterness and recriminations haven't stopped, and they're also affecting the lives of British Asians. One British Sikh arrested after returning to India is now being refused entry back into the UK. Why?
I still pay tax for 35 years. My children are born there, and my grandkids are born there. My whole life is there. When I need help the most, government forgot me. I feel bitter.
I really miss my granddad. I wish that he could come back, and I've never seen him on my birthdays. I've never seen him with my grandma.
We didn't know where he was for 13 days. He was in a bad condition when we found him.
Can't actually remember him. Got a picture. Miss him quite a lot.
Us three brothers found it very, very upsetting knowing my father was all these miles away and we couldn't do anything to help him.
We discover how some British Sikhs returning to India claim they're being singled out, arrested or even tortured by the authorities accusing them of being involved in the violence a quarter of a century ago.
I was stripped naked. Then they spread my legs out. My hair was pulled.
At the peak of militancy, we will not deny also. It was like a war.
Three people beat you up sometime, four people beat you up sometime, 10 people you beat you up.
We were also using our methods to neutralize because everything is fair in love and war.
I was tied upside down. And there was a tub of water where they would drown me a number of times till my last breath. And I fainted so many times in that tortured chamber.
I'm Sanjeev Batu, and in this Asian Network Report special, Victims or Criminals, we reveal how some Sikhs are being detained when they travel back to India. One national organisation, the British Sikh Federation, estimates that more than 100 Sikhs may have been detained in recent years.
I think it definitely runs into the hundreds in terms of people that are arrested. The vast majority are released, but there are still a handful, particularly those that are perhaps more active living abroad, that sometimes can have fabricated charges and literally locked away and keep thrown away.
They fear the figure may be much higher because many who have been arrested have chosen to stay silent for fear of implicating their families back in India.
I think the unknown is the number of Sikhs who do travel from abroad that are arrested and in some cases tortured. And those individuals, I've met several of those, and I've only met them because I know them. They're their friends and they tell you what's happened and they don't want anyone else to know.
Why is it the Sikhs that seem to be getting all this attention and not other communities?
Sikhs in the diaspora are still very vocal about what happened 25 years ago in 1984.
Leading academic Gurharpal Singh, a professor of theology, has written extensively on Sikhism, identity and culture. He believes there is a problem, particularly for those who were active in the pro-Khalistan movement, where some Sikhs wanted independence from India for the northern state of Punjab back in the 1980s.
Naturally, people who go from the UK, they find the context and the atmosphere very difficult. They find it not only that their views are often not accepted, but they also find it difficult that, you know, when they do speak, that the forces of the state are often used against them. You know, if you wear a very bright yellow turban and your Amritdhari, then in one sense that kind of subtle profiling still exists and one could say one is looking for trouble.
Aloo gobi. One family in Scunthorpe knows firsthand what it's like to have someone arrested, detained and then sentenced for a crime they claim they did not commit. Surinder Kaur's husband, Gurnam Singh, went to Punjab on holiday 13 years ago. He's still there.
To tell you the truth, my household has been ruined since he left us. I have a house and both of us want to live together. I want him to come back as soon as possible. I can't tell you how difficult it is for me. I am unhappy, very, very unhappy.
Absolutely shocked. We just gazed into each other's eyes and thought, what's going on? You know, all we first thought of is it's a setup. It's got to be a setup.
Jatinder Singh is Gurnam Singh's youngest son. He says when both the British and Indian police knocked on their door, they started to worry about what was happening to their father.
Scotland Yard came, they raided the house for obviously documents, paperwork, turned the house upside down. Then they left, but they came back with the Indian police again and then interviewed my mother. She was very scared. I answered the door and then there was three or four gentlemen the first time in suits, obviously knew there was somebody official. And when they showed us the cards, the anti-terrorist squad just didn't know what to do.
Gurnam Singh was accused of carrying explosives, something he's always denied. His eldest son, Narinder, says the news hit the family hard.
All three brothers found it very, very upsetting, knowing my father was all these miles away, and we couldn't do anything to help him.
When they told you that, you know, your father's been branded a terrorist, you know, is that the dad you knew?
No, very, very shocked. That was definitely not the sort of thing my father was involved in, anything like that. So when he was branded a terrorist, it was very disheartening. It really shook us all up.
Did you realise what was happening to your dad? Was he taken into custody? How was he treated? What kind of things?
We had absolutely... The first thing that I knew how my dad was, the Indian police, they brought a photograph of my father. Now, I remember when my father went to India, he was, I would say, no less than 18 stone, a powerlifting champion, absolutely ripped up, built very, very well. And then I think it was maybe maximum 5 months when... The Indian police came to Scotland Yard and they showed us a photo of my father, and I wouldn't have put him more than 10 stone on that. And that was the first sort of reality check that we got, what was happening to my father and what they were doing to him. For a man to be that strong, to lose that much weight, it's not just by not eating. They must have been doing something to him physically. He was a broken man. You could see the fear in his eyes. That was a man who was scared.
I travelled 4,000 miles to the rural village of Dandawal in Punjab and came face to face with Gurnam Singh, a man who's now in his 60s but looked frail.
That's my trial paper from the court.
He says he's never been part of any pro-Khalistan movement or is a terrorist. He claims when he was arrested, the police took him away to a deserted farmhouse for questioning.
I've been tortured for 10 days.
What exactly did they do?
When he tortured you, take all your clothes off and he opened my legs up and broke my one leg from the middle. Then I never say nothing. Then I keep saying, look, I never did nothing. Then he won't listen to me. Then he keep beating me up for 7 days. You close your eyes. All he can say, Waheguru Satnam. That's all I can say. Three people beat you up, sometimes four people beat you up, sometimes 10 people you beat you up. He keep asking you same question, you're doing this, but I never do nothing. Then I only can close your eyes, say, Waheguru Satnam, Malka, meri help kar, meri madad kar, main kisi nu aaj tak maada nahi kiya kadi bhi. Then people never listen to nobody.
Are you guilty?
I'm not guilty. I'm guilty, they never do nothing. I'm not guilty at all. I never do nothing.
But why would the police stop you, of all people? Thousands of people come from the UK on holidays to this country. Why did they stop you? Why were you charged with terrorist offences?
That's why I never have been here 12 years. I still ask me that question myself. Why did it to me? Who did it to me? Who reported to me to tell the police I'm a ladder, but I never did ladder that?
You expect people to believe that you came here just to visit relatives?
That's...
To take part in no anti-India activities?
No, no.
You've never touched explosives?
No.
And the police just picked on you?
Picked on me. I don't know how he picked on me. I asked him, how the hell you do me?
After 2 years on remand, Gurnam Singh was found guilty of carrying explosives and sentenced to 4 years in Jalandhar Central Jail.
Complainant?
Haanji.
Injured bhi hai?
Haanji, sir.
Goli yodhe vajje si ki?
Haanji, haanji.
Karag Singh Hundal is a High Court lawyer. Over the years, he's represented many British Sikhs who've been charged with terror offences. He's currently defending a Sikh man from England who has been found guilty of carrying explosives.
So many people have been arrested coming from outside India.
Are miscarriages of justice going on?
You can say that. Some sort of miscarriage of justice is there.
British Sikhs who come to India and get arrested, have they done what they've been charged with, carrying explosives or maybe murder charges?
Those people have not done anything wrong, actually. But they have been implicated by the police at the instance of some interested leaders.
So you think it's political?
Political also and religious also.
Are you still surprised by the cases that you have to fight?
I'm not even surprised, I'm baffled. I'm baffled at the state of affairs in India. There's not the proper investigations in any case. Whenever any police officer come in the court for the giving the evidence, they cannot give the answer to even the two, three questions of from our side.
So you're saying the police are up to no good then, basically?
But they are not doing anything good. Whenever somebody opens his mouth regarding the political matters or religious matters, certainly they are going to be have some repercussions from the state side.
I'm Sanjeev Batu, and you're listening to an Asian Network Report special, Victims or Criminals. In this investigation, we've heard how one British Sikh man was arrested on terrorism charges and served a jail sentence for a crime he says he didn't commit. As a result, he's now spent the last 13 years in India, unable to get a visa to join his family in the UK. 25 years after Operation Blue Star, which led to violence between Hindus and Sikhs, after the Golden Temple in Amritsar was attacked by the army, many Sikhs now living in the UK say they've been unfairly targeted when returning to their mother country. The British Sikh Federation claim more than 100 have been arrested, served time in prison, or even been tortured for crimes they claim they did not commit.
I subject to see jadon todi case jehdi Delhi vich pesh kiti hoi hai ode baab
Balbir Singh Bairns from Southall says it was his appearance that got him into trouble. He went to India on holiday in 1999, but after arriving in Delhi, he was arrested outside the airport. That's when his nightmare began.
I was surrounded by plainclothes police. They took me out of the taxi and took me to unknown destination. They handcuffed me, they chained me, and then later on, after so many hours, they start torturing without any question, without any explanation. They beat me with the sticks, first of all. Then I was stripped naked. Then they spread my legs out and my hair was pulled. I was tied upside down, and there was a tub of water where they would drown me number of times till my last breath. And I fainted so many times in that torture chamber.
And how long did that last?
That lasted from each day. There was a number of teams which will come and go, and each team will do the same. And we'll start sometime in the morning or afternoon, I don't know, because there was no watch or any time. I would guess it will last till a late night.
Balbir Singh spent 3 years behind bars before his case was eventually thrown out due to lack of evidence. And as he had a British passport, he came home.
The whole thing was framed. They fabricated the evidence. They lied.
When you were released, what did it feel like?
Felt very low, actually. I mean, I was proud to be Indian.
We come across lots of them. I'm not saying they're the norm, but there are people returning who are either being racially or religiously profiled.
Manjinderpal Kaur is from the human rights group United Sikhs. She says British Sikhs are the victims of miscarriages of justice in India.
We hear of cases like Mr. Balbir Singh, where evidence is planted on them, and as a result of the falsified evidence, the people spend years in prison before they are acquitted. The fact that it's happening signals to us a great concern that India, which is always labelled as the largest democracy, is a country where people can should be able to travel freely and without fear, is a country where people can arrive and not know that they're going to be picked up and spend 3 years clearing their names. I mean, the most innocent person on the day Balbir Singh was picked up would start to wonder, what did I do wrong? You start having all kinds of questions in your head as to what went wrong here, why me?
I was so proud to be something of that country, and that country which I believe in and look as my home, I was made a prisoner in my own home and tortured and ruined, actually.
Balbir Singh has now lodged a complaint with the Indian authorities. To answer allegations of wrongful arrest and torture, I went to see Senior Superintendent of Police, Ranbir Singh Khatra, at Punjab Police Headquarters in the city of Ludhiana.
There is no such thing as fear and police terrorism. But yes, If somebody is passed, if people who have committed crime here and they have gone seeking asylum or they have gone over there in under fake identities, fake passports, fake documentation, then they should fear also, because then the law will catch up.
There are some British Sikhs who claim that they have been wrongfully arrested, wrongfully imprisoned, wrongfully convicted.
Definitely Indian judicial system is standing a test of time. Let 99 people go scot-free, but one innocent should not be hanged or should not be wrongly convicted. But definitely when they have been put up before the courts and the prosecution system and the judicial system, if they have been convicted, then there must have been substance.
There are people who say that when we get picked up, police torture us, you know, Punjab police, you know, do torture us. Do you torture people?
No. No, absolutely not. But there are ways and means, there are technical ways now, there are other ways and means to corroborate the evidence. It's not that necessary now to use third degree methods.
And some will say that those third degree methods, they're not used in police stations or in jails. The police have farmhouses in the middle of nowhere. We get taken away for days and days and days. You can categorically say they're talking rubbish.
Yes, in the present context, I must say it's rubbish. But definitely, at the peak of militancy, we will not deny also. But it was like a war. They were killing us, and we were also using our methods to neutralize. Because in war, everything is love and fair, and everything is fair in love and war. That period, militancy was at its peak, and when things had gone out of control. There may have been some, but on the whole, this system, this police and this judicial system and this thing has prevailed, and law and order, we have been able to maintain law and order.
I'm Sanjeev Batu, and you're listening to an Asian Network Report special, Victims or Criminals. Gurnam Singh, who we've heard from earlier in the programme, was found guilty of terrorism and spent 4 years in a Punjabi jail and was released in 2001. He claims it was a setup and he's innocent, but is now free to leave India. But there's a problem.
This is a letter from the High Commission, and he said can't come back to England.
Even though he's lived in the UK for over 30 years, he still has an Indian passport. And that means under immigration law, if you've been away for more than 2 years, you need an entry clearance visa to get back to the UK. Gurnam's applied 4 times in 10 years, but has been refused every time. This is hard for his grandchildren, who he's never seen.
Can't actually remember him. Got a picture. Miss him quite a lot. No one really thinks about him as much, but it'd be nice to have him back.
So the longer he's away, the less people actually think of him?
Yeah.
Do you fear that if you don't see him soon, that you'll just forget him altogether?
Yeah, but it's just like when you gather together on Christmas and birthdays and that way you want him back.
I really miss my granddad. I wish that he could come back, and I've never seen him at any of my birthdays. I've never seen him with my grandma.
In the 12 years I've not seen him, I spoke to him on a regular basis. It's been terrible. His father passed away maybe 3-4 years ago, and it was very distressing for him, talking to me on the phone. I was talking to him, and you know, he said, look after your mother, you know, my father's died. And it was upsetting to hear my father crying when he was all these thousands of miles away.
If Gurnam Singh can't come back to the UK, why don't his sons go and see him in Punjab? Eldest son Narinder.
I daren't go across there to see him. I'm just too scared to go out there in case things go, you know, out of control, out of my hands, and I end up being accused of something like himself. He did nothing wrong and ended up in the position he's in.
And this fear of going to India is a real issue for some British Sikhs. The Binderjeet Singh from the UK Sikh Federation says he would not go back again.
I was simply just taken to one side because of the way I looked. You know, a young Sikh, practicing Sikh, and luckily I had other family members, had police officers there that knew the family, and they whisked us away. But I had the same problem 2 weeks later when I wanted to return to the UK, that I was singled out. I vowed in 1996 not to go back, and whilst important religious institutions are clearly in Punjab, I just found the place corrupt. And at the end of the day, you know, you fear for your future.
So, are some Sikhs really not safe going to the Punjab? Leading High Court advocate Karag Singh Hundal says stay away if you have strong political or religious views.
It's not safe for the people who are controversial in some way or the other, either political or religious, because the Punjab politics runs on the wheels of the religion. And the person who has some sort of affiliations with the political parties or the religious groups, they can face the harassment.
Are you charged with anything in India?
And dealing with more and more cases of people being harassed or arrested in Punjab by the police is Ilford South MP Mike Gapes.
It's sometimes difficult enough if it's a legal matter in the UK, but when it's a legal matter in another country, it's even more difficult. From time to time, I've written to ministers within the individual state governments in India. I've written to police commanders to try and get action. I've written to members of the Indian Parliament, either House of the Parliament, if I've got the right name, and to try and get them to take up the case. And sometimes I've contacted the High Commission in London to see if they can facilitate the solution.
One man who asked his MP for help was Lember Singh from Derby. He flew into Amritsar in 2005 and was arrested by the Punjab police. He was not tortured and spent 9 months in custody before his case was thrown out of court.
They arrested me under murder charges. That had been happened in 1991.
Did you?
No, I haven't.
Have you been implicated? Have you ever taken part in anything like that?
No, it never happened. They just, because it was on political reason on that time.
People might think, if the police have arrested you and suspect that you had murdered somebody, there's no smoke without fire. Maybe you were involved. Why would they just arrest you for no reason at all?
Because that is in India. In England, there's no smoke without fire. But in India, there always fire, no smoke.
So you're totally innocent?
Yeah, I was completely innocent. That's why court acquitted me.
What was life like in jail?
They don't give you special treat, or they don't treat you badly. They treat almost similarly with like other inmates.
When you were arrested by the police, did they mistreat you in any way?
No, they didn't.
So once you were arrested, the British High Commission didn't know where you were, and your family didn't know that you'd been arrested?
The British High Commission came to see me after, I think, 3 months.
Three months it took?
Because they kept me to jail 2 months in Ludhiana jail. Then they transferred me to Nabha jail because that's special security jail. And there the British consulate came to see me. The British government, their responsibility to find out their citizens about what happened to them in other countries.
Do you know of any British Sikhs who are currently in detention or who have been in detention like you were?
I only know one person. He's in jail.
He's still in jail?
He's still in jail, yeah.
Lember Singh seems to have been fortunate. Compared to the other cases we've heard, he was not tortured and his case took only 9 months to resolve. And more importantly, because he had a British passport, he came home quickly. But as we've heard, that's not always the case. Gurnam Singh is still waiting to come home, and it's cases like this that Manjinder Pal Kaur from United Sikhs says the British government should resolve.
I think the British High Commission in countries which are the former Commonwealth or the embassies should do more, because his entire family is. His children were born and bred here. He's chosen to remain an Indian national. He's a human being. He lives in this country, and therefore, if he's in difficulty, the least the High Commission should do is to visit and to provide some kind of legal representation.
Gurnam Singh feels very bitter about the way he's been treated by the Indian judicial system and is calling on the British government to urgently review his case.
If able to see, I never did this crime. He should love to me back to the UK. I am innocence.
But the reality is, if you're not British, the rules discriminate. Abu Bashir is a registered immigration consultant.
If you do not have a British passport, even though you may have lived here in the UK all your life, you know, 50, 60 years, and you go abroad and remain there for more than 2 years, and you're convicted of a crime such as terrorism or murder, then the chances of you coming back is literally zero. because those kind of offences carries a mandatory refusal. The only way I can think of that you may be able to come back is only if the Home Secretary uses discretion, his discretion, and the Home Secretary does have power of discretion. But offences such as terrorism, it is highly unlikely the Secretary of State will use discretion. I definitely do not think he will. Under the present climate, it is literally end of the road for that individual.
So for Gurnam Singh, who's been convicted of a terror offence in India and is now seeking justice, his chances of returning to the UK seem virtually impossible. But he says he's not giving up hope.